WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Happy birthday to my dad, if he's listening. Probably not. He's probably already home from work. But we've got a lot that we can discuss today. By the way, I know I had mentioned this yesterday. I said I was going to get the new contest up this week for Linkin Park at TD Garden. It's up there for you now. So this week, we are giving away tickets to the August 1st show. We had a ton of people that entered to win for the July 31st show. So hopefully a lot of you that entered for that and didn't win, because we only have so many pairs of tickets to give away. But if you didn't win, well, then make sure you get on over and enter for the August 1st show, and you still could be going. So that's right at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, and it's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. So some sad news yesterday, and I guess, you know, I'm at the age where people of my era do pass away. I mean, my group of friends growing up, and that changed, you know, from town to town as I moved to different places, but still, when I lived in Plymouth, we went through tragedy when I was in fifth grade with a friend in my class passing away from a heart condition. And then we had multiple people pass away when I was in high school. So, you know, I was never with my contemporaries the kind of person that could say, wow, this never expected this to happen to someone our age. Like, we kind of knew from early on that, you know, these kind of things could happen. But still, when you see something that happened like what happened to Malcolm Jamal Warner, if you haven't heard, he drowned. He was vacationing with his family in Costa Rica, and he got caught on a current, a current caught him up, and he drowned. 54 years old. So that led to the discussion. I mean, you heard some of a similar discussion happening on America in the Morning just now. But what is the legacy of the Cosby Show now? Because obviously everything that happened with Bill Cosby tainted that program. And I feel like if Bill Cosby had done the things that he had done, as horrible as they are, but if he had waited until he was in his 70s or 80s to do that, and it wasn't happening during the Cosby Show, it wasn't happening with him using the Cosby Show as a way to try to lure women, I think people would blame the show less. Obviously, you know, Bill Cosby's still a terrible person. But I think people would be able to separate the show from that. But because it happened during that era, and because, you know, the promise of getting these young actresses on the show was what was intriguing to them in the first place to even pay attention to Bill Cosby, it just makes the entire show, unfortunately, feel not right anymore. And I've seen a few episodes pop up here and there on things and sat down to watch them and said, you know, can I separate the art from the artist? I've been able to do that for a lot of performers, but it's just hard knowing how much Bill Cosby was responsible for that show and what he was trying to use it for. But it still is, for my generation, some of the fondest memories growing up watching that program. I mean, this is like America's brother, whether it's your older brother or your younger brother, but Theo Huxtable was like a brother to you, whether you were a black family or not. and you felt like, at the very least, this was your friend, and now the actor who played him has died tragically. So it brings mortality home, even though, I guess, you know, like I said, my particular friend groups, we didn't need the reminder. But hopefully you will enjoy some of his work, some of his music. I had no idea he was a musician. He actually took classes at Berkeley online. And I probably heard somewhere that he had been a musician because he won a Grammy, but I must have forgotten about it. But just sad, sad news. And I think for people that watch that show, you know, you don't blame anybody else on that show for what went on with Bill Cosby. Anyway, 508-996-0500. We had some news come down yesterday. The final victim of the Fall River Gabriel House fire has been identified. So if you remember, going all the way back to last Monday, when they first started announcing the names of some of the victims, there was a 70-year-old woman that they kept saying, you know, her identity will be, released pending notification of the family. And yesterday, they were finally able to publicly release her identity, Helena Lawler, 70 years old. So now all 10 victims have been identified. The 9 who died in the fire and the 1 who died after the fire as a result of her injuries suffered in the fire. Today at 2 p.m., Bristol County District Attorney Tom Quinn is going to be holding a press conference at the DA's office in Fall River to discuss the preliminary findings into the investigation as to what happened. The representative for the owner of the assisted living home, he put out a statement yesterday in which they talked about the sprinkler system and how that's become a focus of the investigation, and that the sprinkler system was just tested 5 days before the fire. So I think as everybody wanted to point fingers at the facility, and it's easy to do. They've had the owner has had issues, legal issues. But from the way the inspection reports read that the city of Fall River put out, you know, it had passed its fire inspections. There were some questions about, you know, the pest control, but they were working on that. They were having a regular exterminator come in. And by the way, that's, as I've mentioned before, that's not uncommon in places where, first of all, you've got a bunch of people living, but also you have a bunch of people living that maybe can't get to everything. You know, if they have ambulatory problems, you drop something, you drop some food, you can't bend over to pick it up. It sits there, and then you're going to get bugs or you're going to get rodents. So I think the tendency that everybody had to want to blame the ownership, I don't know if it's going to shake out that way. This might have just been a horrible accident. Now, there might have been other things they could have done to help with this, and we'll find that out. But the fact that it's been a week into the investigation and we haven't heard over a week now into the investigation and we haven't heard till now, maybe there is a little bit more to it. Or maybe they just wanted to rule everything else out before they said, yes, we just think it was an accident. But we'll find out this afternoon. There was also some interesting crime news out of Dartmouth. So if you didn't see the story, you can check it out at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But you might have seen on social media over the weekend that a smoke shop in Dartmouth, and by the way, smoke shop is tobacco products, not not cannabis. A lot of people, I think, were confused over the weekend thinking that this was cannabis because they said, well, isn't there supposed to be a security guard at the front door? That's for a marijuana shop, a cannabis shop. This is just tobacco products, so they don't do that for a tobacco products shop. This is where people would go to get like vape supplies and cigarettes and tobacco to make their own cigarettes and cigars and things like that. And a man walked in there Friday night around 6 o'clock, armed with a knife, and was allegedly threatening several employees with it, making threats to kill them while slashing the knife towards them. He then moved the cash register, which had about $700 on it, from the counter and fled the scene in a 2025 Honda Civic. So he not only was robbing the place, he's like, I'm just going to take the whole cash register. Police were able to identify him as Muhammad Sheikh, 40, of Woonsocket, Rhode Island, because the car was registered to him. He used his own car in this robbery, allegedly. And then a bolo was issued, and Providence police found him, and he was taken into custody. So he faces charges of armed robbery, assault with a dangerous weapon, threatening to commit a crime, being murder, assault and battery, malicious destruction of property, and operating a motor vehicle with a suspended license. I think this guy has some issues, because in looking up some of his past behavior, there was a story out of Woonsocket back in 2013, his hometown, in which he was pulled over by police. And I don't know. You might feel like this might have been an overreach by the police for the reason why they pulled him over back in 2013. But he drove by the police officer several times that night in his 2011 white BMW. And the officer reported that he pulled him over. He pulled Sheikh over because he noticed an air freshener hanging from the rearview mirror obstructing the driver's view. Now, he might have had other suspicions, and that might have been the reason that he used, and it might have played out because they said he was glassy-eyed and seemed intoxicated. And the officer asked him if he'd been drinking, to which he replied, "Come on, man, give me a break. You know me." They asked him to get out of the car. He started it instead. When the officer tried to open the driver's side door, it was locked. He ordered him to turn off the car, but the driver said, "I'm out of here," and then drove away at a high speed. And then I guess he was throwing bags of marijuana out of the car as the police were chasing him. So I don't think this is Rhode Island's smartest criminal. But you can read more about it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Again, these are allegations until he has had his time and his day in court, but just not the smartest criminal. If you're going to rob a smoke shop, don't use your own vehicle. Don't you think that I would just assume every place has a camera these days. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Let me take my first break of the morning, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Thousands more files released from the MLK assassination, a close call for a Delta flight, and the Wall Street Journal banned from traveling with Trump.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
An investigation is underway after a Delta jet bound for North Dakota narrowly avoided a mid-air collision with a B-52 bomber. The airline said the close call happened on July 18th as the plane was heading to Minot. It's unclear just how close the two aircraft got to each other. The White House is banning the Wall Street Journal from traveling with President Trump. during an upcoming trip.
The Wall Street Journal won't be on the president's trip to Scotland, and the announcement comes after the outlet reported on Trump's alleged letter to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Trump has filed a lawsuit against the journal alleging defamation, and he has denied writing the letter. According to White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, the Wall Street Journal or any other news outlet are not guaranteed special access to cover President Trump. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The Trump administration releasing 230,000 documents from the Martin Luther King Jr. assassination files.
Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard says the documents detail the FBI's investigation into the assassination, the discussion of potential leads, information about assassin James Earl Ray's former cellmate, and more. Gabbard says President Trump's earlier executive order paved the way for files on former President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, and Dr. King to be released. King was fatally shot in Memphis on April 4th, 1968. He was 39. I'm Chris Caraggio.
The man convicted of kidnapping and murdering the first missing child pictured on a milk carton could be released. The second U.S. Court of Appeals ruled Pedro Hernandez should be retried or released because the jury was given flawed instructions by the judge. Hernandez was sentenced to 25 years to life after being convicted in 2017 in the disappearance and killing of 6-year-old Aiton Pates in 1979. A report from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says President Trump's big, beautiful bill is expected to add trillions to the national debt.
The CBO has published a new analysis that finds the spending bill will increase the national debt by $3.4 trillion over the next 10 years. It said the $1.1 trillion in spending cuts are outpaced by $4.5 trillion in decreased revenue. The legislation was signed into law by Trump on the 4th of July after it was narrowly passed by Congress. The CBO also said the number of people without health insurance will increase by 10 million by 2034 due to the law. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The Pentagon says it will be withdrawing hundreds of U.S. Marines from Los Angeles. They were deployed there in response to anti-immigration enforcement protests across the region. The announcement comes a week after the Defense Department said half of nearly 4,000 National Guard troops deployed to the L.A. area would be recalled. They had been deployed to protect federal buildings and personnel. Coldplay isn't forgetting about that viral kiss cam incident that took place at Gillette last week.
Coldplay frontman Chris Martin playing his first show since that viral kiss cam incident. Martin kicking things off in Wisconsin with a warning to fans to be ready for the camera.
Because we're going to use our cameras and put some of you on the big screen.
A jumbotron at a Coldplay concert in the Boston area capturing data tech company astronomer CEO Andy Byron snuggling with his chief people officer, who is not his wife. Byron has since resigned. I'm Jennifer Polsoni.
At 5'8", the Chicago Bulls have signed the shortest player in the NBA. It's Japanese point guard Yuki Kawamura. A Bulls spokesperson says he's under a two-way contract after playing on their summer league team. Kawamura, not only the shortest player, he's the only one that stands less than 6 feet tall.
WBSM Sports.
The Phillies walked off with a 3-2 win over the Red Sox in 10 innings. Sox take on the Phillies again tonight at 6:45.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
A beautiful start to this morning, albeit a cool one. Temperatures in the mid-50s here. We're going to warm up throughout the day, though. I will say we'll stay below average with temperatures in the mid and upper 70s for the South Coast this afternoon. But beautiful sunshine, a nice breeze coming out of the north, and comfortable conditions overall. Get outside and enjoy the weather, even tonight looking pretty solid. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford. News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
perfect time of year. Somewhere far away from here. I feel fine enough, I guess. Considering everything's a mess. There's a restaurant down the street where hungry people like to eat. I could walk, but I'll just drive. It's colder than it looks outside. It's like a dream you try to remember, but it's gone. Then you're trying to scream, but it only comes out as a yawn. When you're trying to see the one beyond your front door.
And welcome back. And man, Ed Robertson can really sing fast. Anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails available on the WBSM app. We can talk some more about some of those news stories that we were discussing again later on today, 2 p.m. Bristol County District Attorney Tom Quinn is going to hold a press conference in which they're going to discuss some of the preliminary findings into the Gabriel House fire in Fall River. So we'll make sure we let you know about that, whatever comes out of that a little bit later on today. Of course, we had a very interesting discussion yesterday with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. And I know we didn't get to everything that was discussed in that council meeting, but that's okay because we've got a couple of weeks here before the next meeting. So we've got time to discuss all of that. So we're going to get into the school budget and some other things as well. But obviously yesterday the focus was on the Zeitarian. And as you heard him say, you know, they do have a plan to invite Rosemary Gill to come and speak to the council and to lay out for them a lot of, you know, answers to a lot of their questions and to answer some of their concerns about the Zeitarian going forward. And I was kind of making this point to Council President Burgo off the air. I don't think we necessarily got to discuss it on the air. But it's almost like you've got to say, well, let's not look at what we have done because we were limited by the facility. Let's look at what we have planned now. And I think that's the key. And I'm sure they've already started, you know, booking some things because you can't, you've got to book ahead with a lot of these productions and shows that come around. So you've got to kind of hope that everything will be wrapped up in time and start laying out what the schedule is going to look like. If you think you're going to open the Zeitarian, and we can talk with Rosemary about this next month when she comes on with us again. But if you think you're going to open at the end of this year, beginning of next year, you've got to already have shows ready to go and booked because like 6 months away is, I'm sure that's, how do I want to phrase this? You've got to have commitments already in place well before 6 months before a show comes. So they're probably already booking some of this. So what are they looking to bring in now? And what are some of the differences in the shows that they're able to get with this upgraded facility? Because as I was saying yesterday, I don't think that the Z is going to say this. I don't even think that representatives from the city will necessarily say this because nobody wants to admit that somebody would have not wanted to come to New Bedford, but I guarantee you that they were trying to get some different shows to come in here and that those shows didn't want to come here because the facilities weren't good enough. I mean, don't you think New Bedford would love to get a production of, say, Hamilton, knowing it sells out everywhere it goes? But perhaps they tried and the production said, this theater doesn't meet our requirements. We need to have a really good sound quality because it's hip hop, it's rap. People need to understand the lyrics and, you know, sounds like the house sound is just a little bit too muddled here. You know, it's one thing when you bring in a band and the band has their own amplifiers and speakers and all of that stuff that they bring in. But when you've got these productions coming in, they're dependent on the house sound. And so you might see a totally different slate of productions than you've ever seen because things, shows that wouldn't come before will come here now. I don't know that to be true for sure. It's just, you know, in taking the tour of the Zeitarian before they started the work, and as they were explaining some of it to us, you know, you kind of got that sense that the sound and lighting and sight lines and things like that were limiting for a lot of productions that wanted to, that would have wanted to have come in. Because again, it's not like New Bedford is a bad place to come in and do a show. I mean, Worcester has a similar theater, the Hanover Theater. And in fact, the folks at the Hanover Theater, I talked to them last year about something different, but we were talking about the work being done at the Zeitarian, and they were jealous of what's getting done at the Zeitarian. And the Hanover is a fantastic facility, but they were jealous of what's happening at the Zeitarian. And I saw Heart play in Worcester a couple of years ago. Could you imagine if you know, you get Heart coming to New Bedford? That'd be huge. One thing I would like to see them do at the Z is more of these, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but there's a lot of these shows that are going on now with where they show a movie you've probably seen a million times, but they make it an experience by bringing in one of the stars. So I saw in Worcester, in Hanover Theater, there was an event where we watched Christmas Vacation on the big screen, and Chevy Chase was there doing a Q&A and a meet and greet. And it was the first time I got to see that movie on the theater, on the big screen, since it came out in 1989. So that was cool enough, but to see Chevy Chase afterwards and to get to meet him was really, really fun. And they did similar things with Richard Dreyfuss and Jaws at the Cabot in Beverly. They've done or are doing a similar thing with Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. I think that was also with the Cabot. But wouldn't you like to have more of those type events in New Bedford? Wouldn't you love to watch a movie that you love on the big screen and have one of the stars there to do a Q&A afterwards? And that's very popular right now. There's a lot of those tours going on. Kevin Smith is bringing Dogma back to theaters. He's reacquired the rights to Dogma, and he is bringing it back to theaters before they release it on home video, or I guess home media, streaming media, whatever they're going to do with it. But so he's doing an anniversary tour of it in theaters. Wouldn't you love to be able to go to the Zeitarian, watch that on the big screen, and see Kevin Smith do a Q&A afterwards? Now, they're doing that in bigger theaters like in Boston, but still. These are the kind of things that can happen there now. And that different diversity of programming, and I say diversity in terms of types of programming. But if you are, say, Councilor Baptiste, and your concerns is that you're not bringing in shows that fit the different cultures of New Bedford, well, those productions have to want to come here too. And I don't know that there's a lack of desire on the part of the Zeitarian to bring those shows in. I think it's just not feasible for some of those productions to work with the limitations of what that theater had before this renovation. And then you heard Council President Burgo talk about the question became, and this was something that some of the councilors brought up in the meeting. You know, why can't the Zeitarian be self-sustaining? Why can't it bring in enough revenue to be able to pay for itself? Why does the city have to have a support agreement with it? And as you heard him mention, it's because that's how they keep the prices low. That's how they keep the prices affordable, so that if people of New Bedford want to go to a show, they can. You know, Councillor Morad said, you know, the average person, well, I'm going to paraphrase here, but the average person on Cogswell Street doesn't go to the Zeitarian. But the idea is that they could. If they don't want to, that's their choice. If they don't have any interest in it, that's their choice. But could they afford to go? That's what the Zeitarian tries to do, is keep it so that they could afford to go. And if the Zeitarian is priced out of some of the folks in New Bedford that would want to go, well, then maybe something can be done to offer some discounted tickets on certain productions, as I know they've done in the past. Maybe there can be, you know, different discounted performances, different discounted days, different discounts offered for residents. But this is a conversation that's going to keep going, because they are going to get, you know, if they request that Rosemary comes in and speaks with them, I know she's going to go in and answer all their questions. And hopefully that gives the council the answers that they want. And maybe when this support agreement comes up in a few years, and then the question comes about whether or not to renew it, maybe with all of these renovations and upgrades, maybe the Zeitarian doesn't need it anymore, or maybe it'll be significantly less. You know, maybe they say for support, all we want you to pay as the city is, you know, operational things like custodial services, because it is your building. And as Council President Berger and I were discussing yesterday, what's the alternative? You want to see that building be vacant? Like, who do you think is coming in to take over that building if the Zeitarian pack leaves that building? Like, what private company do you think is coming in and taking that over? If Live Nation wanted that building to put on programs, you would have already heard about it. If, you know, there's no movie theater company that wants to go in there and take over that theater and have one auditorium to show one movie at a time. And any other group that would come in to run it similar to the Z runs it, they would want a support agreement as well. So we'll keep following that story as well. I've got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few.
Can't see the light. Keep it locked up inside. Don't talk about it. Talk about the weather.
Well, that's Dave Matthews Band and So Much to Say, but maybe you're taking a look at your pile of laundry and saying so much to wash. And I'll save it for Sunday, because it's that time of year again. It is Dash Laundromat's third annual free laundry day. It's happening this Sunday, July 27th. And you can come on down and wash your laundry and dry your laundry absolutely free. And you can go to, whether you go to their original location at One State Road in Dartmouth, or you go to the new location on Rodney French Boulevard in New Bedford, 124 Rodney French Boulevard. You can come and celebrate the third annual free laundry day and get one wash cycle and one dry cycle for free. And it's going to be the biggest laundry day ever. Over 100 machines available, and potentially 2,000 loads of laundry will be given away in one day. And you can download the Speed Queen app for even more savings. And I will be down there live throughout the course of the day. They're also accepting brand new socks and underwear for Walt's Mobile Closet to help those in need. So come on down to Dash Laundromat on Sunday for free laundry day and do your laundry for free. Let's see if I can get a call in here before I got a break here I got to take, but let's take this call. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
What's shaking, Playboy?
How you doing, Lamone? Lamone, I'm going to put you on hold, all right?
Sure.
Otherwise, I can only give you like 2 minutes.
Wait.
All right. You hang on.
All right.
All right. We are. Let me take this last break and get it in there. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to be going into the news in a moment. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk with Lamone in Las Vegas, and we'll also talk with you at 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We'll also have, in the next hour, today's edition of the Gen X Files, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. We got quite a bit that happened on this date.